I want to get in the Word. We've got just a short period of time to do a big job, so I want to just go right into the Scriptures. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 is where we were last week. Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. One translation says, guard your heart. Another says, keep your heart, tend to your heart, be diligent about your heart. The heart is important. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we know that the reason for it is because that's where the springs of life come from. What are the springs of life? Well, let's go to John chapter 7, and I'm going to show you something that Jesus said. Listen, we are created by God for His purposes. The Bible says that He is the potter and we are the clay. So when we see that the heart is where the springs of life flow out of and we need to guard our heart, there's an incentive there. Because I don't know what the springs of life are exactly, but it sounds really good to me, and I want to make sure that I let those springs flow. And in fact, the title of this message tonight is The Divine Flow. There's a flow of God's Spirit that He wants to have work through your life to other people, toward Him, toward God, toward others, that for our lifespan, we are actually created by God and fashioned by God. We are vessels, we're to be vessels of honor, sanctified and made useful for the Master's work. And God wants us not to let anything hinder the flow. And He wants there to be a divine flow. Proverbs says, guard or keep or watch over your heart with all diligence. In order to understand that, we need to do a quick theological assessment of humanity. We are a three-part being. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. In fact, there's 1 Thessalonians where He is sanctifier, set apart our lives holy, spirit, soul, and body. And then in another verse, it says the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. It separates spirit, soul, and so we know in the Scriptures that there's an inner man, there's an outer man. We're to worship God with our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. The part of us that is of the primary concern right now is our heart, our spirit, the inner man. And we're to guard it, watch over it, tend to it. We're not to let anything hinder it. Because it says in John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, Jesus on the last day, the great day of the feast, stood up and cried out before all the people. Here He is in the village. He's preaching the kingdom of God. He's doing what His Father sent Him to do. And He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to Me and drink. He who believes in Me, as the Scripture said, look at this, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now that is the sister verse to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, is it not? Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Now there's something powerful that God wants to say in these verses. Jesus Himself has a call on your life, and He wants us as we walk in Him to have an unhindered flow of something called rivers of living water. Now we listen to that, and it sounds like a wonderful biblical term, but I want to see it actualized in and through my life. Now, I got contacted by believers that flowed in this. Right before I got saved, somebody splashed some living water on me and shared good news with me. Somebody had tended to their heart. Somebody, in fact, a couple of people. One invited me to a Bible study. The other one preached to me while I was hitchhiking. And I had a real impact from people that were guarding their heart, watching over their heart. Their interest had shifted from just narcissism and self to what God wanted for them, and God began to use them. My little grandma prayed for me, and the rivers of living water were flowing through her. And then the girl that came to my house knocked on my garage door. She didn't even know I was in my garage. And then I opened up my garage door. She invited me to a Bible study, and I went to a Bible study for a month. I learned how to sing the choruses before I got saved. They were raising their hands, and I was raising my hands and singing the choruses. And I remember the pastor just looked at me, and he was just really mad. He's looking at me. I'm learning the choruses. I'm hugging everybody. You know, I'm waving. I'm doing the whole deal, but I'm not saved. You know, and there, at that point, I asked Jesus into my heart, and there's just no looking back. I am a benefactor of people who obeyed this verse and drew near to Jesus and got amazing change in their lives, but not only change to them, but then also from their own innermost being. Let's look at verse 38. From their innermost being flowed rivers of living water. I want to know what that's like. I want to see that throughout the decades of my life. I want to see that happen to you. In fact, my goal as a pastor is, in addition to having good meetings, I want you guys to have an amazing life. It's not sufficient just to come together and have a great meeting and then the rest of our week just be declined until we come back together and, oh, I can't wait to just be able to get in that environment. I want to carry what God's done in our lives 24/7, 365. So when I read Proverbs 4:23, it gives me hope that God's presence, power, the rivers of living water, the springs of life are to flow 24/7, 365. In this building, outside these walls, in all kinds of wonderful, amazing, simple, big, little, in between, seemingly insignificant things. I believe that with God, He's looking for people that He could pour out His Spirit on. In fact, E.M. Bounds said this, he's the guy that was the chaplain in the Civil War. It says, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better. This is at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. Not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use. Men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men or through people. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men, men of prayer. Now, this verse here, come to me, and I'm going to have rivers of living water flow through you, is exciting. This inspires me to get a, as they say, a closer walk with Jesus and more sensitivity to His Holy Spirit. When I think about these rivers of living water, it makes me want to not hinder that or dam up or block that flow. I want to see that flow. I want to see a divine flow. And I heard what John Osteen said years ago. He said the greatest miracles he noticed in his life occurred during simple acts of obedience. This is what I want to share with you. I think there are miracles that may not seem sensational, but are very supernatural, that are available to believers a lot more than we realize. I think God is more interested in manifesting Himself through us than we are interested in seeing His manifestations. But, you know, let me just say this. We're to hunger earnestly for spiritual gifts. We're to desire earnestly for the presence of God to flow through our lives. It's amazing how apathy and complacency will try to seize us. The worries and cares of the world choke the word and make it unfruitful. So we've got to learn how to guard our heart and watch out for it. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is such an amazing verse. I have this verse and then Philippians chapter 2. How many of you would like to see a divine flow of the blessing of God? Jesus said this. He said, these signs shall follow those who believe. Are there any people who have beliefs here? You're a believer. You believe in God. You believe He exists, that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. Oh, yeah. We have a belief. We have beliefs. We have a worldview. We believe there is a God. We believe He sent His Son Jesus. We believe Jesus did not just come to be the head of Christianity and start a world religion. We believe He is, in fact, the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the one who said, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." I mean, we are in a supernatural proposition. This is exciting stuff. The potential that's present in our lives is every bit as dramatic as it was in the book of Acts. Now let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want to show you a really wonderful verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, we know in Genesis that we are created out of the dust of the earth. Is that correct? Now, did you know the periodic table of the elements? Do you know there are trace elements in our bodies? Do you know if you ever look at your multiple vitamin, it has copper and it has chrome in there. Pennies and car bumpers, you know? We're supposed to take that stuff into our body. Iron? What do you need iron for? Because we're made out of the dust of the earth. And God made us from the dust. Then He breathed into us the breath of life. We became a living soul. And look at this verse. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from us. Listen, Christianity is all about us becoming aware of the fact that our heart is where the springs of life flow out of, and we're to guard that. And that really, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. You have this treasure. Oh, I'm going to show you something in the book of Acts now. You want to go to the book of Acts chapter 3? I'll get into Philippians 2 in a minute. But let's go over to the book of Acts chapter 3. Peter and John, have just, I mean, they've witnessed the resurrection of Jesus, remember? They ran and got to the tomb and saw that he's risen. They've come out of the upper room and they've been filled with the Holy Spirit. They've spilled out onto the streets. Peter opened his mouth to preach and 3,000 people responded to the message of Jesus. They're so excited about this, what's flowing out of their lives, that they're going to pray, and that says Peter and John were going up to the temple the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, and a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. This guy was probably in a situation of paralysis, and when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. And Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him, and they said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Verse 6, but Peter said, "I do not possess silver or gold." The Message Bible says, "I don't have a nickel on me. But what I do have, I give to you." Did you hear this?
Yeah.
What I do have, I give to you.
Yeah.
What did it say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? We have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Yeah.
And then what did they say here? What we have, we give. This is what Jesus said. Ask and I'll give it to you. And then it isn't just going to be a benefit to you. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This is starting to happen here. And it is to happen all the way till Jesus' second coming. Listen, this is what's so exciting about it. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Larry Christensen was a Lutheran pastor out in San Pedro, California. He basically said, we are not trying to become something in Christianity. What we're doing is recognizing Jesus in us. It's so simple, but listen, catch this. The excellency of the glory is going to be of God and not of us. This is what Peter and John said. Hey, we don't have anything on us right now. We're on our way to pray. We don't have any money on us right now, but what we do have, we'll give. This is what the enemy's working overtime to try to deprive us of the revelation of. He's working hard to keep us down and ignorant and blind to the provision of what God has given us. But we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. What is the treasure? The presence of Jesus. He said, he's knocking on the door of our heart, and if we open that door, he'll come in and he'll dine with us. The mystery of the ages, the Bible says, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I've heard that preached for 30 years, and it's still very mysterious to me. Paul the Apostle said, God no longer dwells in temples made with hands. One time a guy got mad because we let kids run around in the church. They said, that's the sanctuary. I said, no, it's not. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is a building we use for church. And in fact, I want the kids to feel comfortable in church. Not irreverent, not disrespectful, but I want them to feel like this is a place where they worship. I want them to know what church is where they do life. That it's not letter of the law, starchy. I mean, I think we need to be reverent, but we need to understand. In fact, this verse ought to give you a real sense. Peter and John, what we have, we give. It was that divine flow. And they fixed their gaze on him, and he fixed his gaze on them, expecting to receive something. There are people all outside this building that are looking for you to catch the revelation of these verses. This will inspire you to guard your heart. This will inspire you next time you get tempted to gossip to repent faster. This will inspire you to not sow to the flesh, because when you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption, but when you sow to the Spirit, you reap life and peace. This will inspire you to a holy life because you will not want to hinder one bit of the precious living water. It's really not just for you, but it's to splash onto other people. You guys, I got saved because somebody realized they had something, and such as they had, they gave. This guy got healed. They said, what we have, we give. Get a hold of this. This is an interesting verse. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart because from it flow the springs of life. John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38 says, out of your innermost being, if you're a believer, shall flow rivers of living water. One translation said, shall flow gushing torrents of life-giving water. In Spanish, it's agua viva, a living water. Such as we have, we give. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. In the name of Jesus. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Everybody say walking and leaping and praising God. Wow. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled, listen, with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. If you notice in the scriptures, there was a sense of reverence and awe when God would move. And I think it starts with us, where we realize, Lord, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. This is where the awe needs to begin, where we appreciate, to the point where, like John and Peter, we're able to say, what I have, I give. I've got good news. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul said, man, I cannot wait to go to Rome to preach because I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. I'm not ashamed of the message of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of my Spirit-filled experience. I'm not ashamed of the Word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gifts of the Spirit. No matter what comes and goes through life, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. And I love the message, and I love to pray because I know God answers prayer. Last week I was tired after the third service, and I stood over here and people were lining up talking to me, and a couple walked up and said, we just wanted to report we're pregnant. I said, cool. So you prayed for me a while back. We tried all these approaches and none of it worked. We stopped. We asked you to pray for us, and now we're pregnant. We just wanted to tell you. I thought that was cool. I was so tired that I was like, cool. And then it just dawned on me when I started to get, you know, after a while, I went, that is really awesome. God is so good. This is awesome here. These guys, isn't that guy that's been begging alms? And I've never seen him run around and walk and leap and praise God before, but I think that's the same guy. But I love this. What we have, we'll give. Now, this is what we spend a lifetime studying. We become aware of what we have in Christ. Who he is, and all of his magnificence and glory. We don't let anyone cheapen it or discount it. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He's not just a great teacher. He's not just a great leader. He is the Son of God. He's unique. He's divine. He's holy. He's the Son of God. So that takes us into a whole different level. Now, finish up with second chapter of Philippians. Let's go to flip over to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling. For verse 13 says, it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That's got to be one of the most amazing statements ever uttered through the pen of Paul. Listen to this. In the Weymouth translation, turn of the century British translation, it says, for it is God himself who creates within you both the desire and the power to execute his gracious will. That's a bit of a long sentence. Let me read it to you again. For it is God himself whose power creates within you both the desire and the power to execute his gracious will. One more time. For it is God himself, God is at work in you, whose power creates within you both the desire and the power to execute his gracious will. For example, you get saved last year and God takes hold of your life. But then he gives you two things. He gives you the desire to walk with him, to change other people's lives, to stay with this thing. That's from him. That's not originating from you. That's his power that's at work in you. Both to will, he's given you that change in your will. Whereas before, your will was gone into your own thing. Now it's like God's working in you where you're ruined to sin, and you found that to be the case. You're ruined to it now. It's not the same as it was. It's like, ugh, you know, now you just have this passion to want to please him and do his work, even though it's very challenging. God's at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, he gives you the power. He creates in you the power. I'll read it again. The Weymouth translation is so good here. It is God himself whose power creates within you both the desire and the power to execute his gracious will. Peter and John are going to pray, and this guy is right there, and they see him. And he's begging. And they go, we don't have any money on us, but what we do have, we'll give. Because Jesus commissioned us to go heal the sick. And he's the healer. We watched him for 3 years. Rise up and walk. And he gets up, and they are amazed and astonished. And I'm sure Peter and John were as well. And God took these ruffians and turned them into people with passion to make a difference in the world. God is at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. His power creates within you both the desire and the power to execute his gracious will. He's working on your attitude, and he's given you aptitude. He said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And I heard T.L. Osborne, this preacher, say this, what God does to us, he wants to do through us. That's why we've got to fight to not allow the pipes to be clogged up. We got to roto-rooter these pipes. That's repentance, that's obedience, that's admitting our sin, that's dealing with things, that's asking for forgiveness, that's humbling ourselves, that's crucifying our flesh, that's pressing into God. It's a fight of faith, but it's a noble and right fight. Now, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I mean, there is treasure there. And God wants us to guard our hearts so that front those rivers of living water will flow. It happened in the early church, and he's the same today as he was then. So as we read those biblical patterns, I mean, we carry this wherever we go. Every phone call, every email, every work contact, every interaction we have with everybody all the time, we are ambassadors for Christ. So there's never off time. We're on 24/7. And God, it never slumbers or sleeps, and he's at work in us. So what we do in these verses is we guard our heart, we keep our heart, we watch over our heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. We realize that God, his power is at work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We are created for this deal. So I'm not surprised when the Vietnam veteran and the girl Jill from high school came to my house and had such a power to impact my life. They were just regular people. They just came and crossed paths with me, but they had been with Jesus. In fact, that's what this verse says. This guy, they argued with this guy. What happened? Who healed you? And so forth. And they said they could tell Peter and John were unlearned men, but they could tell they had been with Jesus. The divine flow must be constantly considered from the time we get up to the time we go to bed. There is this attitude like this Smith Wigglesworth. He started his ministry when he's 48 years old. And he said, God, send me to somebody close to eternity. His passion was to win someone to the Lord every day. And so God would lead him and God would give him opportunity to win people to Jesus on a higher frequency. And God opened up those kinds of doors and made those kinds of arrangements. I'll close with a story. Amy Semple McPherson was a controversial and interesting leader back in the 20s and 30s in California. She started a denomination called the Four Square Denomination. She was a major force in the healing ministry and miracles and things. She was a pioneer in radio. She led a lot of people to the Lord. She built Angela's Temple, which is now occupied by Matthew Barnett, Tommy Barnett's son, and that's where they have the headquarters for the Dream Center out in Los Angeles. They built this building. It's beautiful. They have a room where they have wheelchairs and crutches and stretchers all hung up that just from people that got healed in a radical way. Charlie Chaplin designed some of the sets for the preaching. Anthony Quinn played saxophone in the music pit. She was an impactful person. And she had scandals and troubles that hit her through her life. And she died, I think, in 1940-something. Well, she had a son and she had a daughter, Rolf and Roberta. Rolf went on to be the president of the denomination. In fact, he's still alive. He's in his 90s. And it's now occupied by Jack Hayford. Jack Hayford is, and Dick Mills, their Four Square. Dick Mills is coming in April. My grandmother was in this denomination, and I've actually researched some of this and thought it was pretty interesting. Well, Marcy flew from Los Angeles to New York City to meet with Roberta and talk to her about her mother. Now, Roberta had been away from the Lord for about 50 years, or 60 years, maybe even longer, maybe closer to 70 years. She got so hurt by some people in the church that it alienated her, and she ran away from the Lord. Well, Marcy flies up there. She gets with this lady and goes into her house for 2.5 hours, talks to her about the Lord, ministers to her, and she died a few days later. Wow. Well, Marcy got with Jack Hayford yesterday, and Jack Hayford, she began to explain to Jack Hayford that she got to talk to Roberta. He said, what day was that, Marcy? And she looked at her calendar and said, it was this day. He said, I was scheduled to go to New York on that day to talk to Roberta, but I had to stay back. I had to do something else. And he said, but I had a peace in my heart that was going to be covered because they wanted to go witness to her because she was getting close to eternity. Now, this raises goosebumps on my arm, but it also raises this issue about, this is very fantastic, but not really. This is to be commonplace among us, where the Holy Spirit is leading His people all the time in strategic happenings. God, it is God Himself whose power creates within you both the desire and the power to execute His gracious will. Now, God prompted Marcy to go all the way across from L.A. to New York. And the lady kept saying, you came all the way from L.A. to talk to me? And she said, yeah. So for 2.5 hours, she ministered to that lady, talked to her. Now, just let this process in your mind. This lady prayed for her kids, prayed for her daughter, and died, 70 years ago. And now here's a lady who hasn't even been born yet. Marcy goes and takes that flight. Somebody else was scheduled to go. They had to do something else. God ordered her steps. So that would qualify as rivers of living water flowing. That would qualify as an amazing culmination of things and a divine happening. Like with the book of Acts chapter 3, what we have we'll give, and we see this unusual and amazing miracle. I think miracles are to become the common thing of our lives. Not where we ever treat them as common, but the Bible said extraordinary miracles were wrought through Paul, where even as he sent aprons and his work clothes, and they take them and they put them on people, and they'd be healed. That's radical. But what that really shows is such an abundance of that river of living water and that presence of the Lord pouring out that it's even tangibly on his clothing, on his work clothes. Demystify that. When you see these guys with spring water and all this stuff, turn the channel. That stuff it's an aberration of what really, I mean, that's just cheap merchandising to get you to give money to their thing. This is so holy. Don't let that stuff cheapen the real thing. Can we talk here? That stuff makes me mad. The real thing is the real thing. There's nothing in the Bible about miracle spring water. But the holy things are real. The devil uses that merchandising stuff to make you embarrassed and get you to back off of the real thing. There is a real anointing. Okay, I better stop now because I'm getting in the flesh. Let's all stand up before we go. I want to pray. I don't want to get in the flesh here. You don't need that. Father, I pray the outpouring of your Holy Spirit in this people. God, I pray there be no short circuitry among us. Nothing would lean up against the flow and short circuit it. I pray, God, whatever good happens in and through our lives, it is not traceable to a bunch of methodology, a bunch of human principle, a bunch of charisma or charm, but it's traceable to the one for whom we've given our lives, the one who died for our sins, the Lord Jesus. I pray you'd be so honored and glorified. I pray some really cool things take place through this group of people. I pray that people on the brink of eternity would be so impacted through these folks. I pray phone calls would be made. I pray interaction and conversation would take place. I pray more of those, I prayed last night and I asked God to reveal himself to me. Now here you are. I pray there would be more of those that would start taking place through these people. God, I pray that you help all of us to move into more of the presence of your Spirit, to lean hard on you. God, to walk in your Spirit. God, that nothing would substitute for or counterfeit the real thing in our lives. We pray you help us to flow in the supernatural flow of your Holy Spirit. Just like those guys that said, we don't have any money on us, but what we do have, we give. I pray people in here would start to sense the presence of God, the power of God, the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, the move of the Holy Spirit through their lives. I pray, God, you'd use them as ambassadors, as emissaries of blessing, to go forth with joy, be led forth with peace, and to minister effectively to hurting people. God, I pray that you set us up out there as we go out our ways and do our business in life. God, that there'd be more and more rich connection and opportunity to win people to the Lord and to minister life to people. I pray divine flow of your grace, of your presence, and of your power would flow. How many of you want God to move in your life? Sure you do. Sure you do. How many of you gave your life to Jesus and you have a confidence you're saved? Okay. Well, for the remainder of our lives, we have a commission to share the gospel. But see, what God does is he wants to confirm his word with signs and wonders. And I think that's an amazing thing. You know, God may just want to use you to fill in some gaps and cover some things. I believe it. Now, some of you may just be just trying to survive, and it's like, I don't want to do any of that. I just need to figure out how to get out of this pit I'm in. Well, He redeems your life from the pit, and here's what I noticed. The times I get really self-centered and really down and upset, oftentimes the way God gets me free from it is by using me to help somebody else. It's kind of amazing that way. In fact, 99% of the time He does that. He rarely goes, oh, and addresses my self-pity. Oh, you're right. It's awful, isn't it? I don't remember Him ever doing that, actually. He usually goes, get on the phone, get on your knees, call somebody, talk to somebody, do something, and get out of yourself and just watch the flow of God. And while you're ministering to people, that residual blessing of springs of living water flow, and you go, ah, and you see God doing something in somebody else's life. One time a guy called me and he began to share one verse after the other with me, and I could detect in his voice he was coming from a place of pain. And I said, hey, you doing all right? Yeah, I'm fine. And he kept sharing this. I said, wait a minute, what's going on? I had no idea the depth of challenge he was going through. But he finally said, yeah, I'm having some struggles. I said, the Bible says a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. Sometimes we need each other, don't we? So it's not just about winning souls. It's not just about healing miracles. It's about encouraging one another and being available for one another, praying for one another. For my birthday yesterday, I sensed some people were praying for me. I had a pretty good day. I was so grateful. I actually had moments where I had revelation hit me, and I actually had joy hit me for little periods of time. It was incredible. It was like somebody's praying for me. This is awesome. I can't wait till my next birthday. I can't wait till I turn 100. They'll really kick it up and I'm 100. All right. I'm trying to finish now, so I am finished. God bless you.